Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated November 6th, 2015. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. The background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how's it going this week, Asclepius?
Going super well, thanks, Lord Baldrith. Had a wonderful week. Luckily, didn't have to work very hard, which is absolutely awesome. And I got to spend a bit more time in-game.
I'm quite jealous, and this is a great release. Did you accomplish anything memorable?
Yes, I did. I finally got the hat. And I tell you, that is an achievement.
They are making it very challenging nowadays, and getting the hat... the hats are great, though, so you got to have them. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Oh, I know. Look, I tried to do the right thing. I tried to get out there and find it on my own. I think this is an adventure, okay? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to solve it. And I managed to find one of them, and that was awesome.
Yep.
But I did have to fall back on Envy's video. And I'll tell you what, I think he saved the sanity of so many players, including me.
Yes, especially when he showed us that secret door. That's where I kept getting lost.
Yes. Yeah, I think I could have walked past that very many times. That was just so brilliant. And I will fess up, I'll be honest. I was walking around the desolate hills for a couple of hours, looking at every crevice, up and down every hill, around all the paths. And you know what's there. I mean, all the ghosts and zombies and ebon cultists. And you can't even run past the ebon cultists. That you don't survive.
Yeah, they're pretty high level, aren't they?
Oh, they certainly are. And I thought, okay, maybe the tour guide is a bit further on. Okay, they've killed me, but they can't kill my ghost. I can keep on walking. I'll get to the next ankh, and then I've covered a bit of ground. And the tour guide might be a bit further down the track. I kept this up for a couple of hours. And I eventually gave in and looked at the video and said some really interesting words.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Because I just never thought to look in the building that's right close to the entry portal.
Yeah, you never figured they'd make any of them easy anymore, huh?
No, that's absolutely right. And even in the Tower of the Shuttered Eye, I mean, it did put me off a little bit when it was a four-skull area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's dangerous.
Don't you love the new layout of that tower? They've really made it nice.
They sure have. It's beautiful. And the music is beautiful. Love
it. Yes, it is. New songs. I love it.
Absolutely love it. And once again, this is my failing. I didn't explore the ground floor thoroughly before trying to fight my way up the tower.
Yeah, you know, I would have assumed it was the top two.
Yeah, that's right. And I made it halfway up. I got to where the Lich Mage and all his friends are.
But oh,
boy. I didn't get any further than that.
Yeah, remember, we're starting off at low levels now, so yeah.
Well, I know. Well, I'm actually at level 32 now.
Oh, very nice.
And I've got myself a nice two-handed sword with a gem in it, so a bit of flame damage and stuff. And yeah, I can handle some people, but I can handle two or three ordinary skeletons. The hard ones are tough, and the archers are tough because they run off at a distance.
Yeah, the archers aren't very nice. Anything that runs isn't very nice because you sit there and get hit the whole time you're chasing them, and it's not nice.
No, that's right. And again, I kept on stubbornly persisting with that. Because that, okay, I'm dead. But I took one of the skeletons down. So I'll run down to the ankh, resurrect, run up, take another one down. This might be a war of attrition. But in the end, I found no. Even with the Lich Mage and one or two of his friends, it was still far too much. And again, I gave up and watched the video and I thought, oh, you stupid man. It wasn't up there anyway.
That's right. That's another one of those ones that's actually one of the easier ones, too.
It is. I think the devs must be sitting back there in their office laughing themselves silly, watching us rush around all over the map like demented groundhogs.
Well, didn't they used to be about seeing the new areas and just like kind of just, you know, going through, not getting killed? So it's kind of changed.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, well. Although the one that was in Deep Ravenswood was pretty tough. I remember that one was awful.
Yeah, that was one of the first of the bad ones. I think they started getting ugly, you know, around that time.
Yeah. So, yeah, some of them are easy, some of them are ugly. But, hey, it's good fun doing them, and it's awesome getting the hat.
Oh, yeah, no matter how hard they are or how challenging, we're going to make sure we get our hats, because those are going to be very awesome when they're hung up on our walls.
That is right. And, oh, what a great release, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Another gorgeous release, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, and I must say, on another topic entirely, I am enjoying Windows 10.
Oh, you're actually getting used to it?
I am getting used to it. One thing that I really like, because I'm playing through Steam, and as you're probably aware, you'd boot up the game, boot up Steam, and then it says, yeah, downloading. Oh, right, they've put up another patch. Okay, I didn't want to play now anyway, did I? I'll come back in an hour or so. Well, Windows 10 seems to take care of all of that. It somehow knows that I've got Steam installed, and somehow everything happens quietly in the background. So next time I actually boot Steam up, it'll get a little message at the bottom of the screen. Yeah, one item of one complete. Oh, it's already downloaded.
Oh, so it's automatic, huh?
It is automatic. You don't have to boot Steam up to get the download happening. It's like all the updates for Windows 10. Things just happen without you even knowing about them.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all, because that was always a hassle to have to restart and, you know, interrupt everything you're doing.
That's for sure. And it just means that next time you actually want to go and play the game, it's ready for you.
That's right.
And you suddenly notice, oh, we're on patch number 347 now. Oh, sweet.
Yeah, sometimes they'll put out 2-3 patches, and then it's quite a wait.
That's right, yeah. So, life's getting better, and there's a lot to see and do.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, there's just, every release, there's so much more stuff getting put in, and I'm very excited.
Oh, absolutely. And the towns are looking good.
Yeah, the new snow biomes are beautiful. I still need to see the cave biome. I've been bad. I haven't done much exploring.
Yeah, so have I. I'm just trying to get myself to a position where I can survive. And I'm trying to do a bit of crafting, because I'm going to try and get myself some decent armor, home crafted, and then decorate. So I've got a whole shopping list of things that I want to do.
I think I've built up about 2,500 gold, which is, to me, feels like I'm kind of rich, but I don't know.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. There's one area. If you go into the Ardoris sewers and then move from there to the Solania sewers, one of the first rooms you come to is that big sort of round area where a swarm of skeletons attack you. They're actually not very strong. If you're at a reasonable level, I guess. And they're all carrying swords and ectoplasmic residue. So you just spend half an hour there until you're overloaded, come back, sell it all, rinse and repeat.
Oh, hey, that's a good idea. I need to try that out, because I'm always looking for skeletons, because I've got sun magic and, you know, the life magic is good too.
Yeah, well, that could be a good place for you to go and try, because it's not too far away, and they are relatively easy to knock off. And they're, as I say, they're all carrying a rusty sword and a bit of gold and some ectoplasmic residue. So, a bit of quick cash. It's great.
I'm just curious. I've heard people tell me that every time they find the sword, they're turning it into scrap. Is that a more profitable thing to do, or is selling the sword a better thing to do?
Okay, that I can't answer yet. I haven't tried it. I guess if you've got other sources of revenue, like maybe making and selling wolf heads, which I just found out from Coeur d'Alene last night you can do, they retail to the NPCs for 100 gold each, so that's all right.
Now, how much does it cost to make them? Is it a pretty cheap recipe?
Well, yeah, not so bad. Obviously, you need a needle and scissors, which you've got, a wolf head, which you get for free from killing a wolf. You need two leather straps. So you'll need some leather.
Oh, yeah, leather straps. I think those make in twos, though, don't they?
Two leather will give you three straps,
I believe. Ah, that's what it was. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and you need four wax. And wax isn't that expensive.
Yeah, wax is one of your cheaper things. I think it's a 2 gold item. That's good.
Oh, there you go. So for about 10, 20 gold, whatever, just off the top of my head, you can make some wolf head masks or bear head masks and go and sell them for 100 gold each. So that's a good deal.
Plus you get to practice your... is that a carpentry or a tailoring?
That's a tailoring skill. So yeah, your tailoring skill is going to go up.
That's what I need to raise, so that's awesome to know.
That's right. So, long circular argument or discussion. If you're getting money that way, you could afford to take all these rusty swords, melt them down, and you've got iron, which, okay, augments the quantities of iron that are out there in the world.
I need iron because I still need to make my flaming halberd. I haven't done that yet, so I'm trying to collect it.
Right, well, there you go. Although I will say that I think there are more resources in the world now.
Oh, really? Is it the same locations they were, or they've added some more places to find lots of stuff?
I think they're in roughly the same locations, but it's just a gut feeling or an impression that I'm getting. There seem to be more cotton bushes around. Mining nodes, yeah, I think they're a little bit more.
I've been a lot of questing in south, west Ravenswood, and there's a couple of mining nodes and a couple of cotton bushes and a couple of trees, but nothing too serious.
Yes, yeah. And even on some of those random encounters, there's a few cotton bushes there, or sometimes more than a few, and some trees. So I think they're working gradually on putting more resources and more nodes in.
They were talking about putting resources in like specific areas so that you'd have to like travel around to get certain things.
Yes, they were. And it'll be interesting to see how that develops. And I'm trying to summon up the courage to go to a Shardfall area, because word is that the nodes or the resources there are very rich.
Yes, and also in the those one places, you know, where the fences are. The checkpoints, what do they call them?
Oh, yeah, the control points, yes. Yes,
that's it, yeah, control points. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's right. It'll be, if you can survive there, it'll be worth going.
Yeah, those reddish wolf things that come out after me, it seems like they're pretty rough.
Oh, those desert wolves, yeah, they're horrible. Yeah, they are.
I wonder if they have a better wolf head.
Oh, well, yeah, they want to. I just got to the stage last triad of releases where I could take them on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they were pretty rough, weren't they? High level?
They absolutely were, yes. You know, it is wonderful to know now. It's interesting to see the development. It's wonderful that they've actually put the ability to see our hit points and health points and focus points.
It is. I actually think it's awesome. And it's something I always turn on in games because I kind of like to watch my bars and just make sure I'm not, you know, in trouble.
Yeah, I'd never seen that before. But after you told me about it last week, thank you, sir, I had a look, turned it on, and oh, look, it is great. And, I mean, let's face it, when you're a freshly minted, just off the press young avatar with about 100 health or hit points, and you see an elder wolf or a big grizzly bear coming at you, and he's got 650. It's time to run.
Yeah, you know right away, if he's got 600 so odd hit points, he's going to hit hard too.
Yeah, that's right. and the the lich mage that I encountered last night had 850 just on his own, and that's not counting all his skeletal friends. So it's not much of a surprise that I didn't survive there.
Man, I wonder if he always had that many hit points. That sounds pretty rough.
It does. It wouldn't surprise me because they were a bit tough. But once you get up to level whatever, 40, 50, da-da-da-da, you can take them, which is great.
Yep.
I can take some of the creatures with about 200-300 hit points now, but only one at a time. If a few of them surround me, then I'm gone.
I've been fighting the kobolds and the skirmisher and the regular ones, and I'm doing okay with even three at a time.
Oh, that's well done. Brilliant.
I have my ice elemental out at all times, and I was trying to learn how to use my little creature you can summon, because I couldn't figure it out the other day, so I'm going to try it again.
Oh, yeah, the little chest mimic?
Yeah. I guess you got to use the taming skill. I would never have thought of that, because I don't do taming.
I figured it out last night, and hey, it's actually deceptively easy. You get this little whistle, and you put it on your necklace slot. So once you're wearing that, when you go to set up your combat bar, there is a taming glyph among all the glyphs that you can use. Add that to your deck. When it comes up in your combat bar, just click on that. You are summoning your tamed creature.
Okay, well, that's easy then. And everyone says he's so rough, and I wanted to see if I could summon him together with my elemental. That'd be double help.
Okay. Based on the little I know so far, I think you can only have one out at a time.
Okay, well, since he was like a different kind of creature, I thought I might be able to get around that, but maybe not.
Yeah, and he is pretty tough. He's a good little mate to have around.
Oh, I'm sure. I've got both elemental. I've got the ice and the water elemental. One heals and one's damage. I'm not sure. I don't see much difference between them both, so I wanted to try him out and see if he uses any what is good.
Wow, you've done well to get down that far in both trees. That's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of was just earning points and moving my skills up to where I'd go all the way down my trees, and I'd be done training. I could just focus on fighting, so that was my strategy.
Oh, good one. Oh, I hope it works. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it works. I'm still very, very wimpy. I'm level 32 as well, but man, I don't know. I'm trying to find a spell I like, even though, I'm a water mage, but the water spells are still lousy, and the sun spells are better. So what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, don't pick a fight with me, because I'm going down the fire tree, so I'm going to be pretty susceptible to water magic.
Oh, yeah. If you're attuning to fire and I'm attuning to water, we'd be in trouble.
We would be, yes. We could kill each other pretty quick, couldn't we?
Yeah, it's just a matter of who's going to go down. You probably go down slower than me because you're wearing leather, right?
At the moment, I'm still wearing plate, but once I get my crafting skills up, I'll be looking to move to leather, yes.
Oh, okay, so you're struggling with plate and spells. How's that working?
Not bad, because I'm really only dabbling in the first or second tier spells so far.
So you don't fizzle then on the first tier, even in plate?
Occasionally. Yeah, occasionally fizzle.
Okay, but it's definitely not too bad.
It's not too bad, no. No. Once I get a bit of crafting skill, I'll get some leather armor. That lowers my fizzle rate. And I'll be developing the focus tree, going right down to the follow-through ability. And that reduces the fizzle rate. So I'll get there.
Yeah, I've got my focus tree is also done, so I'm working those very slowly.
Beautiful. Yeah, I did a slightly different approach this time. I stayed with what they gave me and started to work hard on that and got some basic skills up so I can sort of survive. I think I can survive in a 2-skull area. And now I'm going to start branching out into magic.
So did you go down the truth path where you get that serious amount of fire magic?
No, I went down the courage path. So I got the sword.
Okay. Well, one of my characters did magic. Both of them do it. And they give you like 15 points in Fireball. It's a really a lot of head start.
Well, that's nice. I mean, I got a good head start in sword ability. I got, a good 15 at least in quite a number of the sword skills. And that's terrific.
Yes. Yeah, I've got my pole arm that I use all the time up in 65 range, so it really helps a lot.
Very nice. That's lovely.
Hey, melee stuff moves a lot faster than everything else, you know, so it's a good way to go for a backup.
It does. That's right. Yep. Okay, well, we have some news that we can talk about.
Shall we do?
We have updated the avatar number 150. We've been going a while on this, haven't we?
Yeah, 150 is a lot, yeah.
Yeah, nearly 3 years. So we've got Hilt, Mariah, Overlook, North, Nariad, NPC requests, extra life, winter expirations, and more. Nice.
Very good.
And here, first up, we have a beautiful series of screenshots. This is part 4 of Scotty Jones's post, The Fortress at Hilt in Nightshade Pass.
Beautiful.
And doesn't that look brilliant? It says, here we are with the final series of images from the completed exterior of Hilt Fortress and Nightshade Pass. Quite a few last-minute touches carried the end of this one past our big office move, but it was certainly worth the extra time spent. So in this image, with terrain decorations complete, we can see one of the great scenic views of the fortress from the opposite side of the valley on the trail, leading past the traveller's encampment as it heads towards the forgotten exit near the volcano itself. Ah, don't you love the foliage and the vegetation and the detail there?
I do. I love everything about it. I like the fact that you can see that tower looming in the background. That's a very cool shot.
It is so nice. You know, even on the overworld map, you can see the Tower of the Shattered Eye in the distance as you're wandering around.
Yes, it's a very good landmark, that's for sure.
It is, it is. And further up the trail, you can see more evidence of the volcanic nature of the area. They've got steaming fumaroles. As you climb higher, the sulfur-rich waters seeping into the ground leave barren patches of soil and dead trees. That looks like a spooky volcanic area, doesn't it?
Yeah, I love that. Those little blue water pools are really cool.
That is absolutely awesome. There's a place in New Zealand, Rotorua, that's similar to that. They've got pools of all colours, boiling mud, steam coming up out of the ground. It's a spooky place.
I definitely wouldn't want to do any swimming there. You'd probably burn up, huh?
Yeah, sure would. Even if you didn't burn, there's probably acid and all kinds of chemicals and evil stuff in the water.
Yeah, so is it just the results of a volcanic area?
Yes, yeah. I mean, New Zealand as a whole is quite volcanic. And that particular area is fairly active. And yeah, it's pretty hot down under the ground. Some of the motels that you can stay in there have hot thermal baths. They don't have to heat the water. It just comes from under the ground.
Oh, that's great. So it's natural and it's really nice.
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah.
I used to go to lava hot springs up there in Utah. I think it was Idaho. And it was beautiful there, you know, with the natural heated water pools you could go to. It was fun.
Yeah. It's amazing. And it just sort of boggles your mind to think of how much heat and energy and instability is down there below the Earth's crust.
Yeah, it's a very living world underneath the surface for sure.
Absolutely, it is. But there we go. It's fun to look at, and that's a beautiful screenshot, that one. That is just lovely.
Oh, it is.
And then we move on Heading into the fortress, you'll see evidence of the final pass I made to fill out all the areas of interest in this locale. At the base of the fortress, by ruined walls and the roots of a twisted old oak, waits the pale troll who delights in accosting those who dare try to cross his bridge.
Yeah, he looks pretty treacherous. I was just wondering if that waterfall back there has something hidden behind it, too.
Oh, it might. Yeah. It's just a beautiful scene, isn't it?
Oh, it's gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah, I just hope we can get past the troll.
I think my sprint might come in very handy around there.
I reckon it would. Yeah, yeah. I think you're going to need that. The only good thing about trolls is they don't run very fast.
Nope, but they do throw at you, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And that probably knocks you on the ground, and you got to like get up and try to get going again.
Yes. Mind you, I had one encounter with a troll, and I think, if I remember correctly, when he throws a boulder at you, it's not self-guiding. So he'll take aim, but if you dodge and run to the side, he'll miss you.
Well, see, now that's awesome. So you have some hope of, you know, a little bit of dodging ability of your character. I like that.
Well, that's right, yeah. And it sort of makes sense. I mean, a boulder shouldn't be a guided missile. If you're going to throw great big boulders at you, well, at least you should have the chance of dodging it.
Yeah, I don't think anything should be a guided missile except for a guided missile. Our spells shouldn't do that, you know. They should stand a chance of missing.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, if people are throwing spells at me, I'd love them to miss.
Sure, I should be able to duck in somewhere and not get hit.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you've seen spells go around corners, haven't you?
Yeah, I always laugh because it's like, why do their spells have so much potency than mine? Because my spells sure don't do that.
Yeah, but there you go. As Chris famously says, screw you, it's magic.
Yeah, that's right. I like it.
Love it. Doesn't have to make sense. It's magic. Just get your mind around it.
Yeah, that's the excuse for everything that doesn't make sense. Magic.
That's right. Well, that's how I explain my 2-story stone basement in my boat. It's magic.
That's for sure. A lot of magic there that you don't have any water in your basement, huh?
I know. That's right. Well, it's like the TARDIS. And any Doctor Who fan will be quite happy with that. It's a lot bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of our basements, you know. The basements under your row lot are definitely big.
They sure are. Okay, and as he says in the levels above, if you choose to walk deeper into the brush-choked overgrowth between the cyclopean walls, you find ruined remnants of the obsidian occupation over 200 years earlier. In the image below, there's a crumbled decorative courtyard and even the remnants of a walled gravesite. It really is an old civilization that was really powerful, but it's just fallen away completely.
Yeah, it's just like a ruin, huh?
It absolutely is, yeah. And finally, we get to the front of the fortress tower itself. You can see all those obsidian crystal sconces there, illuminating the way. Wow.
They're beautiful.
Aren't they? That was once an impressive grand avenue of approach to those presenting themselves before the might of the generals, and that would lead through the main gate to empty out into the primary courtyard of the tower itself. It's the last little shot shows us from a bird's eye view. There's so much work that's gone into that.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I was just trying to look at all the details. There's something purple then in that one picture.
Yes, there is, isn't there? Can't quite make it out what it is.
Yeah, I was wondering if it's the lighting or is it some surface or what?
Okay. And finally, the last shot is his standing within this courtyard long after dusk has fallen. It's easy to see how time has taken its toll. Ruined pillars lay crumbling before the great entrance, and pines now grow where once soldiers marched. and vines cling to its ancient facade. At either end of the structure, long abandoned barracks lay filled with relics of the troops that once occupied them. And above the eyes of these enormous attendant statues, which flank the main doors, stare down accusingly.
Yeah, I love the looks of the ruined pillars and things there. It's very neat.
This is going to be an awesome addition to the game. And not only that, but the lore that goes with it. There's a backstory here, which we're going to have to find out.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk to people and then track down what they're having us look for. It's going to be really fun.
Oh, it sure is. So they're doing so much work. And it, to me, it goes to demonstrate that they're really in the accelerated phase now. I think they've got the basic nuts and bolts of the game happening, and now they're bringing out all these extra scenes.
Yeah, this is where the story starts coming in, so people can actually, you know, start to see what this game's going to be. So this is going to be awesome.
Absolutely, it is. And, hey, following on, we've got another area. This is nice. In the Moriah Mountains, this overlook once hosted an entertainer's commune. Now, I hope this doesn't happen to the New Britannia Theatre Troupe headquarters, Lord Aldred.
Yeah, it looks pretty messed up.
It does. I mean, they had actors and singers and animal trainers and clowns and more. They had frequent and diverse shows. Oh, dear. Every year, tens of thousands of visitors came, enjoyed. Oh, we haven't got quite tens of thousands yet. But no longer. Now it's a ghost of its former glory. Brutal satyrs now patrol the aged streets. The cages that were once home to trained animals now imprison slaves waiting to be sold to the highest bidders. And wild beasts slaughter any visitor to the once grand amphitheatre. That is scary.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, though. The site of an amphitheater. I'm looking forward to stuff like that.
Ah, oh, that is going to be awesome. Because they have said they are planning to introduce amphitheaters into the game. So maybe this is going to be a prototype. And it'll be lovely. Mind you, this one's dangerous. Because, yeah, it's been taken over by whatever. Wild beasts.
They said satyrs, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, the satyrs patrol the streets, and wild beasts in the amphitheatres. So yeah, you are lucky to escape with your life if you go to this area.
You know, if they bring it in before they wipe again, we might get tough enough to where we can go there.
Oh, that'd be nice. I hope so.
I'm going to be up to level 70 soon.
You know, I've never got that far.
Me neither. But you know what? If I keep getting stronger, it will give me incentive to keep on going.
Oh, that's right. That's for sure. It's wonderful just to see that development. And even as they've put the numbers on the hit bars now, you can see how you're progressing slowly. You can see how gradually your health is climbing. And it's actually reassuring.
I like it because when something goes up, sometimes you see a hit point added. It's like, oh yeah, that's a good skill. So yeah, it's good to see.
That is right. But it's given me a devious plot. Because if I ever do engage in any PvP, once this ability comes into the game, I think I'll be wearing my Lord British cloak.
Oh, now what's that going to do?
What that happens when... It's not in yet, but it will eventually come in. Your opponent cannot see your health bar or your hit points.
Ooh, very sneaky. Oh, that's good.
I know. And how often have you been in a battle where your health is going down, your hit points are going down, you're nearly dead, but so is your opponent. And you think, if I can just get in one good hit, I can survive this.
Yes, I know. That's the nature of PvP, really. You've got to just live right on the edge.
You do. And if you can see that your opponent's nearly dead as well, then you know you have a chance. But if you have no idea at all how healthy your opponent is, that's going to be scary.
Yeah, more than likely you're going to probably want to run or, you know, do something.
That's right. Yeah. But there's only one downside with the Lord British Cloak. Do you know what that is?
No, what is it?
It's from the lore of Ultima, because remember in one of the Ultimas there was a gold plaque above one of the doorways, and you could kill Lord British by loosening the plaque and dropping it on his head. And in one office building at some time, this is in real life, Richard Garriott opened a door and there was a plaque there that had become loose and it actually fell on his head. So if you're wearing the Lord British Cloak, there is a random chance that something will fall out of the sky on you.
Oh, wow, really? And it'll kill you?
I don't know if it'll kill you, but it'll do some damage.
That actually would be kind of funny to see, though.
It would, wouldn't it?
Unless you were in the middle of a big fight or something, then it would be, oh, no.
Yeah, probably not a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yes, as with everything in the game, there is risk and reward.
You know, I think I'll be content just to wear my cloak that gives me light.
Yes. Yeah, I'm wearing that most of the time. It's great to have something that gives you light, because you can see where you're going in the dark and at night.
Oh, when it gets so dark, that's about my only hope. You know, I can't see.
That's for sure. Okay, and yet another adventure scene. We have the North Nereid Pinelands.
Oh, this is beautiful, too.
Ah, wonderful. Oh, I should mention the previous scene was developed by Keith Quinn, one of their other devs. So they got a lot of hard-working people there.
Yeah, these are the new devs, right?
They are, yes. And this one is by Esteban Zaldivar, otherwise known as Sorceress Steve.
These guys are really cool. I've seen him posting on the forums quite a bit, too.
Yeah. So here we go. There's an upcoming North Nereid Pinelands area. I hope this is true, because it was an area largely driven by logging and lumber production, until recent events forced much of it to be abandoned. Now, only signs remain of a once thriving regional centre. As the Avatar, you'll explore the northern Verdantis wilderness, so it's up in the Verdantis area somewhere. And look at the next picture, that is beautiful. It says, inspiration came from the Black Forest region of southwest Germany, as shown in the following image. That's a real shot, and the shot at the top is game footage. And haven't they copied it well?
Oh, yeah. So this second picture is an actual photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's gorgeous. Yeah. So they're trying to get that into a scene.
And really, you would notice the difference. The technology and the ability to build a game world is so good. It looks just like the real thing.
It does. Yeah, the fact that they've got that in there, it does. That road looks like our roads, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And look, if they make an area that's absolutely full of pine trees, it'll be a logger's paradise, and I'll be as happy as a pig in mud.
Yeah, for sure. I love going to find lots of trees. That's one of the things I like to collect.
That's for sure. Because, hey, everybody wants them, everybody needs them, and it's discouraging trying to wander through a scene. Say, oh, yeah, there's a tree. Cool. Okay, hang on. Yes, there's another tree.
Yeah, I know, because you get stuck just harvesting away.
That's right. And you say, oh, yes, off on the horizon, I think there's another tree. So you spend half the day and come back with 6 logs.
I know, that's the sick thing. You only get one of everything now, so it's like, oh, we were so spoiled before, and now we're just really paying the price.
I just keep hoping. I've actually just unlocked Meticulous Collection on Field Dressing.
Oh, good work. That's tough.
Oh, it is. And once that happens, I think, okay, there is a chance that you'll start to get more and more and more. And it's like everything in life. Money makes money. And once you get more ability and more experience, once you've done the hard yards and the hard grafting, then it should start to come easier.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to when my character actually gets some experience and some gain and gets to keep it. And we'll actually start to build our wealth.
Oh, absolutely. Like in a mining node, you might get 8 or 10 ore out of each node and 6 logs out of each tree. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, because you need them. The way they've got the recipes going, you need lots of logs just to make anything.
I know. Yeah. I mean, we're starting out pretty small, and even making some leather and a couple of yards of leather, I think, yeah, I'm doing well here.
I know. Isn't that yard of leather takes a lot of animals, doesn't it?
It sure does. That's right. And yeah, as I say, I'm just looking forward to the day when I can kill a big grizzly bear and maybe get 6 hides off it. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but it'd be nice.
Hey, you would think if you killed a bigger animal, you'd have a chance to get more hide. I wonder if they're ever going to have that as an option.
Yes, I wonder. But look, all we can do is hope. And if we keep on doing it and the meticulous collection skill goes up, then yeah, it might even happen.
Well, as it stands, if that goes up high enough, you get a lot of fur just off a little teeny wolf.
You would. That's right. Exactly. And then you can come home and make a whole lot of wolf hats and sell them and retire rich.
Yeah. Imagine getting rich off of selling wolf hats. Oh,
nice. Yes, that's right.
I'm the wolf hat salesman.
Yes. And about 30% of the time, according to Cordelain, who gave me the word last night, you get a critical event, and it'll give you an extra 3 strength.
Now, just curious here, I've never, ever, ever had a critical event in the game, so how high a level do you need to start seeing those?
Well, I had 1 or 2 happen last night, and I was only level 15 in tailoring.
So they must have lowered it, because I was level 35 last release and I never got a critical event. So
wow. That's good to know.
Maybe I'm just bad luck. I don't know.
I think that's probably it. It's just bad luck at the casino.
Yep.
Don't go to the casino, because it's not going to work for you.
I don't, believe me. I've already lost too much money in the casino.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, it's probably random. But I hope that as your skill level goes up, it gets more often.
Yeah, I can't wait to mess with it. I'm getting enough cloth now to where I can probably start making I'll try to make my boots and my gloves and some basic things, and I'd love to critical them. I'll get my intelligence.
That'd be awesome. Yep.
Last time I cheated and I bought some crafted ones that were already critical, so this time around I don't have enough money to do that.
Interestingly, I had a look on the public vendor last night, and I noticed some of those wolf hats with the strength bonus were offered for sale at 1,200 gold.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous, I'd say.
Yeah, me too. I'd be interested to know if anybody ever takes people up on that. I think once the game's been going for a while and the player economy settles down, prices are going to drift to something more realistic, because people will only pay what they think an item's worth.
I tell you this, I saw one of those houses that flies on a vendor for 99 million gold. And you know, I remember there's a charge for a list, you know, for listing stuff at a certain amount. Wouldn't that cost a lot of money to list it for that?
You pay a 10% deposit.
So how in the heck can they afford to list it for that? That just sounds expensive to me.
That sounds ridiculous. Wow.
I'm just, why would you do that? Who's going to pay 99 million gold? Who's got 99 million gold?
Nobody. Nobody. You'd have to be in the game for years to have that much.
Yeah, I don't think my record is maybe 200,000 back when we found that good deal with the gems.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good deal, wasn't it?
Oh, I loved it. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to stop telling devs about these bugs and shortcuts.
Yeah, I know, because they ruined our bark bread, too. That's not selling for near what it was, either.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
I am really in trouble for making... The only way I can make money thus far is go out, kill skeletons and kobolds and sell their swords.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Mind you, I might try and make some more wolf heads. That's reasonably good value.
That one I'm going to do, because I've got about 15 or so wolf heads in my chest there, so I'm going to do that.
Fantastic. Yes. And you might find a sucker who's prepared to pay 1,000 gold for a good one.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that to anybody. I don't like ripping people off.
Nah, me neither.
But I'll probably just sell it to the vendor, because your personal vendors don't get a whole lot of business at this point in time.
No, not so far. I don't think the game has hit critical mass yet. Although, there's a lot more people in the game than I've ever seen before.
Yeah, the fact that we were getting queue times, you know, last week was a really good sign.
Yeah. And you walk around the Overland map, and there's always people on it. You look up your friends list, and you think, wow, there's a fair number of people on today.
Yeah, there's just so much to do, and we're all testing our new skills, because they've beefed things up, and we want to see how strong we are now.
That's for sure. So yeah, it's getting more and more exciting, and more following. Once the game's launched, I think it's going to be full.
I think the game's going to be huge. I bet you we're going to be like towards millions of people, I think.
I hope so. That would be awesome. And then we'll have a full-blown economy, and people will be walking all over the land, coming to all the private vendors, and you'll get people who are prepared to be crafters and give an order to adventurers, say, go out and get me some raw materials, please, because I don't want to fight. And they'll come back, give them to them, or sell them to them, and the economy will roll along that way.
Well, it'll be like the market boards they put out where people are advertising you to get leather or whatever they need, and you can turn it in and make money. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, me too. That'll be great.
I hope that's coming, because I know they talked about it a couple of releases ago, that it was something that was on the plans, but I haven't heard about it, so I really hope that's still coming.
Yeah, so do I. But it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
My biggest problem is my lack of incentive to craft. You know, it's like, but if I had a way to make money with it, oh man, I'd be all over it.
Yes. Yeah, now that would be good. If you could set yourself up as a custom or a bespoke blacksmith or cabinet maker, tanner, tailor, whatever, and have a great little business going, it'd be really good, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's the kind of stuff in-game that really excites me. You know, setting up a business, getting a good following of customers, and just starting to make a lot of money. That's really fun.
It is. And as I say, once you get this critical mass of people, there will be enough people passing by. And over time, the word will get around that, hey, up at Wizard's Rest, there's a guy there, Lord Baldriff. He makes the most awesome potions and the most unbelievable armor you'll ever see, and the prices are reasonable. You've got to go up and see him.
Yeah, the word will spread. That'd be awesome.
That's right. So yeah, we wait for the day.
Yes, we do.
But in the meantime, a couple more shots of this area, and they look absolutely lovely. And the little settlement there with the shipping and processing center with the settlement by the waterfront, that looks lovely.
I wonder if that little wheel, you know, the water wheel, I wonder if that actually moves around.
I'll bet it does, you know. I'll bet that is a working water wheel.
I would love that. I think that kind of stuff's really neat.
It's beautiful. And one of the many threats to the settlers of northern Verdantis are bands of savage barbarians. They've utilized the land to craft their homes up in the trees. Like it.
Oh, now I wonder what kind of creatures those are.
Yeah. They are barbarians? Okay. At a total guess, I'd say humans, like the bandits.
Well, hopefully it's a different kind of human, like some kind of scraggly-looking, you know, guy that's maybe in tattered clothing. It just means to have a different kind of person, you know, to fight.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be great. And I love this. I wonder what on earth that was at first. Just a rough sketch that he was talking to Sanio about. You know, yeah, an arrow and a, some scraggly thing in the middle. But then, you see down below, they turned it to elevated bridge and another elevated bridge and a like a treehouse. And that looks just amazing.
Yeah, those are cool. I can't wait to go up and take a look at those treehouses.
Ah, that will be brilliant. There you go. And I think, as somebody said in the forum post, okay, how long before we get treehouses in the add-on store?
You know what? That could be an up-and-coming thing if they're putting them in-game.
They could be. That's right. And that would be nice.
So then it would plop down this giant tree and your house would be up in it? That'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be great? Yep, yep.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah. So there's a lot more that's coming and a lot of wonderful stuff for us to see. And now they're going to flush out Exeter from a forum post by Scott Jennings, a.k.a. Lom. And they're seeking entries for the inhabitants of this mysterious port of call, Exeter. It borders the Bay of Storms. It's the largest settlement in the Quell region. And that's a unique city because it's run by satyrs. Although they're often hostile to humans when encountered in the world, in Exeter they've found a more lucrative path, that of trade and commerce, specifically facilitating the travel of pilgrims to Xenos and the legendary citadel of Artifice. Now, enterprising avatars may have their own reason to explore the meaning of Artifice, for Exeter is a key way station along the path of truth. Okay, so that's interesting.
Yeah, that's one of my paths. That's cool.
That's fantastic. So, I think it's not only going to be that brief introductory scene that we've got so far. There will be a whole complex, a whole storyline. Whether you want to go down the truth, love, or courage path, that'll be great.
Yeah, you can play three ways. It'll be kind of fun.
It will. So, satyrs and their fallen slaves and humans live and work together. It's not always an easy coexistence, but often profitable. Excellent. So, it holds many riddles and many mysteries. Very nice. So, as they've done before, they're looking for submissions for NPCs. Just a reminder, they don't have visual customization yet. They will have, but not now. So, okay, right now, every NPC is going to look like every other NPC. And responses first come, first served. It's pretty large, but there are limits on what they can accept. So if you don't succeed, well, that's fine. Please feel free to try again. List a first and second choice for a profession, and they have to be human. No satyrs or fawns, please, for the NPCs.
I wonder if they're ever going to accept non-human NPC requests.
Yeah. I wonder. Okay. Interesting. Well, if it's a satyr and fawn city, but the NPCs still want to be human, then maybe they won't.
That's true. So it sounds to me like all the people you're trading with are going to be humans.
Yes. Okay, so what they want is 15 merchants. Of almost every type. No banker or realtor. Oh, they've already got satyrs for those.
Oh, that's cool, then.
That's interesting. So, yeah, so the banker, the town crier, they will be satyrs. And 20 visiting pilgrims who are wishing to travel to Artifice. Okay, so the legend has it, the travellers who reach Artifice have their every desire fulfilled. So these pilgrims should have some wish they want granted. So something to think about when you do their character story.
So you have to write a small story about this person you're adding, right?
They would like you to, yes. Yes. Not compulsory, but yeah, that would help. And 9 travellers who are in Exeter for their own mysterious purposes. The plot thickens. So, anybody with imagination, you want a NPC in Exeter? What they would like is their name, gender, profession, first choice, second choice, and an optional background. Who they are, how they would respond to nosy outlanders, what brings them to Exeter or keeps them there, and anything else that you'd like to add. They do reserve the right to edit and or reject any background that doesn't fit with the lore and the setting of the game, but they would really, really like your input. So that's brilliant.
Yeah, if you have some good ideas what kind of characters that would fit in that area, that'd be really awesome to see it come to life.
Fantastic. So specify a PM to Lum via the forum. Specify that it's for Exeter. They will respond if it's used or not, or missed the cutoff, whatever. And thanks for your support. And see you in Exeter. Beautiful. And they're looking for a lot of NPCs, so even if you submitted before, you can do it again. If you've already submitted, you may be bumped by people submitting their first one. Now, that probably seems fair.
Yeah, it's definitely the first time in a while they've asked, so people might be ready to put their submission in.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and we have a Release 23 post-mortem happening. They're always interesting and well worth watching. Thursday, November 12th at 3 p.m. Central for their monthly hangout. Richard, Star and Chris talking about Release 23. Looking forward to a very special release, Release 24. Okay. Fire Lotus taking questions and feedback live. There will be prizes. So if you're in the IRC chat room during the broadcast, you can qualify for a prize. So that is brilliant. And definitely well worth watching. Even if you can't be there to see it live, they always record it and you can catch up with it later. As I do.
Yep, me too.
Yes. Okay, and now we have something really worth watching and supporting and doing. Extra Life Play Games and Heal Kids. It's the 8th annual Extra Life Charity 24-hour gaming marathon to support Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. It begins tomorrow, November the 7th. Since 2008, it's raised more than $14 million for local hospitals to provide medical treatment for children across the country. That's brilliant, isn't it?
It is. Very good stuff.
So this year, the Shroud community is coming together to host events, provide prizes. Browncoat Jason, yay Browncoat, has coordinated many of these events and will be streaming gameplay on Twitch for the entire 24 hours, beginning at 8 a.m. Other community members will be streaming as well, including Amber Rain and the Rise Up Gaming crew, Kaysen Phoenixfire and Lazarus Long. So there you go.
Awesome stuff there, guys.
It is, absolutely. And just a brief rundown of things that are being featured. We have Lunch with Laz at the Bear Tavern, a two-hour segment. The Shape of Things to Come, that's a great game. They're doing that in Neath at 4 p.m. An Avatars Radio Race at 5 p.m. Fishing with Winfield. He's moved it forward to 9:30 p.m. And Dragons Meet at the Hearth of New Britannia. Companionship Song and Rabble. With Rustic Dragon, Browncoat Jason and the other Ultima Dragons. Very nice. And don't forget the prizes. So every 2 hours, donors who support the efforts will be drawn to win prizes, including add-on store credits, licensed merchandise from Relics by Rild, and games on Steam. Excellent. And there's extra prizes at the end.
Oh, very nice.
So that is wonderful and well worth doing and supporting. A link to Browncoat Jason's post on the forum, all about the schedule. And as you can see there, I won't go through all of it, but it is very busy, very exhaustive, and I really hope they get a bunch of money from it.
Yes, for sure. It's a good cause.
Absolutely. And this is some more details about the Avatars Radio Race Challenge. Beautifully done up. Love the scroll.
I'm very impressed with the little events they've got there, too. They're very well done.
They absolutely are. So the latest race challenge, sponsored by Avatars Radio, is at the 7th of November at 5 p.m. Central. If you consider yourself fleet of foot, a bit of an acrobat, or just enjoy a good laugh, this is the event for you. So prizes for the fastest time, the second fastest time, the third fastest time, you get store credits. The crapper run, it's an all-in event. Everybody starts as a group and the first across the line wins a wooden outhouse.
That's good.
And everybody needs a wooden outhouse. And the pictures there, they do look amazing. So that's going to be fun.
That's very, I like the names of those two. That's great.
Yes. Lovely names.
I like the treacherous tunnel. I want to see that. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Makes you wonder what's in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, something treacherous, probably.
I love it. Okay. There's a lot of imagination. And again, I've said it before, but it emphasizes the dedication and the support of the community, putting so much work into building all of this. This is up in a week. The crafting, the building, the harvesting and stuff that went into this, and in a couple of months or so, it's all going to be taken down.
I know. It's just kind of sad, you know. Some of the things you see up that are just going to get wiped, and they're beautiful.
They sure are. But it just shows again what a wonderful community we have and how many people out there are prepared to put so much work in to entertaining, supporting, and providing enrichment to everybody else. And that's great.
I'm just glad there's pictures of it all, you know, for us all to see things that were done. It's just a really great album of awesome memories.
It for sure is. Okay, and once again, a grim and sobering reminder that time is running out, people. And it sort of emphasizes that stuff is getting closer. Alpha and Beta are getting closer, and I think they're moving steadily closer to lockdown, where they want the game to be boxed up tight. They don't have the time or the ability to keep on adding stuff and adding stuff and adding stuff. They want to know how much they've got and how much they have to provide for.
And how much they've got to sign.
Yes, how much poor Richard has to sign. Yeah.
I mean, it's listing right here. It's kind of listing all these things with his signature on it. Oh, man, he's going to be in trouble.
Oh, I know. Look, he's going to have RSI big time, that's for sure.
Yes.
Okay, so look, as you go through the rewards, you will see a number of things that you are or would be entitled to. And, you know, without running through all of them. Okay, there are a number of nice things. And if you get in before January the 4th, that's great. You will have them all. If you get in after January the 4th, you won't, because things will be cut off. So please have a look at this. Read it carefully. And be aware that the time to get all your goodies is now.
Yeah, you don't want to lose that on the cloth map and stuff. That's all great stuff.
Well, that's right. Yes, for sure. And a reassuring note, these expirations do not affect any backers that already have these pledge rewards. If you've already backed at any particular level and you've got these things, you think, they're going to take them away from me. No, they're not. You've got them, you keep them. But it's only if you sign up after the 4th of January. So that's the next big landmark or the big sign in the road. After this, a lot of these extra cool goodies go.
Bright side is, it sounds to me like they're getting close to think about mailing them out type of thing too.
Well, that's right, yes. And that's the really good news, because all of this stuff has to be signed. They want it signed, sealed, delivered, put in the mail, out to the supporters and the backers, and then the game will be released. And that's what we're really waiting for.
Yeah, I want to see a picture of that cloth map and see what kind of stuff they put on it. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, me too. That is going to be mounted on my wall or somewhere where I can see it. It's going to be really good.
I will definitely have it right here above my monitor so I can see where I am and get less lost. It'll be really awesome.
Yes. Yeah, it's not difficult to get lost, is it?
Oh, man, this world's huge, and we've only got the first part of it. Oh, wow.
I know. Imagine when we've got five times as much land.
Now, are they going to give us a cloth map for each part so we can put them all together?
Oh, I would hope so. I really do.
It'll be like a tapestry, though, won't it? It'll be cool.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yes. And when we want to go and catch up with somebody or visit them, I say, oh, yeah, I'm way up the top, you're down the bottom. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, exactly. I have a feeling it's going to be that big.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And also be aware that the add-on store houses won't be included after January the 4th. So if you have a player-owned town, if you bought a player-owned town, you will get a number of houses thrown in. So that's fine. And as in Wizard's Rest, we've got 3 add-on store houses, I believe.
No, we don't actually have them, but I've got them all picked out.
Oh, sweet. Okay. So they will be there. And if you've got a Metropolis, well, you can have 16 of them. But if you buy a town or a Metropolis after January the 4th, then no, you won't get them.
And the best thing about those add-on houses is you can choose the expired ones. That's kind of what I'm choosing.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. I like it.
Yep, it's good. There's some good houses that we can no longer get. I mean, they came and went on some of those houses.
Very nice. Okay, so another incentive to help yourself to the best possible rewards that you can get. Help the game by contributing a little bit more. Help the devs by getting them to sort out all the spreadsheets and the database and everything so that the game can go live. And further warning, there's a lot of stuff in the add-on store that is going to go up in price on 4th of January. So everything's sort of comparatively cheap at the moment, but it will get more expensive in January. So there we are. You have been warned. So once again, and following along with the stick is the carrot, is the Black Friday bonus. If you lash out and get any of these things, they'll give you a 15% store credit bonus, which is great.
Adds up quickly.
It sure does. And that's any time between now and December the 1st. So, store bonus, store credit bonus, 15% is active. While it's active and before they take all the rewards away, get in there. And now we're up to the community events. And as always, there's an awesome array of things happening. The recurring events, the role players, the avatar, monthly $150 writing contest. The November theme is thanks, goodwill, and accommodation. Cooperation. And that looks great. Role players of the avatar is in dire need of your amazing talents. They're holding a monthly contest to award those most famous with their quill or camera. And there's a link to the details. So they'd be well worth doing. We have the Unreliable Travel Guide, Avatars Radio, awesome as always, NBNN Lunch with Laz and Jack every weekday, Daily Wartime Event at 8 p.m, Daily Breakfast Club, The Tavern Respite, The Challenge Dungeon Run Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Paxley Working Hours on Tuesdays, Nervian Academy on Thursdays, Happy Hour Wednesdays, Gladiator Wars on Thursdays, Phoenix Republic Thursdays and Fridays, Nervian Academy Roleplay Courses on Fridays, Shardfall Madness on Fridays, Vengeance Madness on Fridays, and Astronomy Events on Fridays. So that's a pretty full week.
It is.
And on the weekend, well, here we go. 9 o'clock, Paxley Working Hours. 11 o'clock, Church of the Dark Star. The Saturday Service. 12 o'clock, the Bear Tavern Musical Interlude, which is an Extra Life event. Lovely. 2 o'clock, the Welcome Quest 23.5, another Extra Life. 3 p.m., Gust Ball. 4 p.m., The Shape of Things to Come. 5, the Avatars Radio Challenge, Race Challenge. 7 o'clock, Port Phoenix Social Night. 8 o'clock, Vengeance Tournament. And 9:30, Fishing with Winfield. Sunday, we have Exploring Novia, a Pax Lair meeting at 8:30, 11 CST Phoenix Republic weekly TeamSpeak meeting, 1 p.m. the Serenite Shopping Extravaganza, 3 o'clock Gust Ball, 5 o'clock BMC Gridiron Feast and Registration, leading to 5:30 Gladiators Gridiron, 7 o'clock the Pax Lair meeting, 8 o'clock Fishing with Winfield again. So, awesome weekend.
Yeah, lots of good stuff.
Absolutely. And upcoming events, we have FunCon 15, we have Release Through 27, and South by Southwest Gaming. That takes us up to March, so it'll be interesting to see what happens after that.
Yeah, I think we're getting close to another quarterly update, what, in December or January?
Yeah, I think we are. It will be fascinating to see where we're going and exactly how close we are to an alpha release.
Yeah, I'm wondering, do they have to get all the towns in before we get an alpha release?
Good question. Because they say, I believe, for alpha, all the systems are in place. May not necessarily mean all the towns. I'm not sure about that.
That's possible, and because that's one of the bigger holdups, I would guess, because they haven't even got, I wouldn't even think they got half the towns in yet, have they?
Yeah, I don't know. Possibly not. And of course, for beta, they've got the features complete, which would mean all the towns, all the story, it's all in place, and it looks as if it's going to run, flick the switch, and see, yes, it works.
That'll be like a month before launch or something, though, won't it?
I think so. As they have suggested, we've been playtesting it for so long, we've ironed out every bug we can find, so the actual beta should be pretty short.
Yeah, the only thing we really find now is just all the stuff that when they add something new that you've got to flesh out, you know?
That's right. I mean, it's a bit like building a complex piece of machinery, like a car or something like that. Every individual part and every combination of parts has been exhaustively tested on the way through the factory. And when the final part is put in, it shouldn't be a surprise that the car runs beautifully.
That's right. You're just adding, you know, some chrome finish here and a fancy windshield wiper here and maybe a fin on the back. And it all goes great together.
That's right. And then you think, yes, it runs perfectly as we expected. Let's open the doors and let the public in.
That's right. Let's take it for a drive and see how much we love it.
That's right, for sure. Okay, recommended projects to back there, mentioning Underworld Ascendant again. Gorgeous. Yep. And we are sort of cooperating, and there's a shared history with that. I'm still waiting for my jabbering Bert and Bertha. Bart and Bertha, is it?
Yeah, and my little shield. Yeah, I'm looking forward to all that. I don't know if my shield's going to light up because I haven't played that game yet.
No, that's right. Probably, yeah, I'm guessing once it's launched, the Elven Buckler will light up, but that'll be interesting to see.
I'll definitely find a character that can try that out. That'll be fun.
That'll be great. And a Fountain War book. It's a book about the epic true stories from EVE Online and the galactic firestorm that culminated in the largest battle in gaming history. Okay. Interesting. The Fountain War Book Project brings best-selling author Jeff Edwards together with the Mitanni Media and CCP in creating the first ever book about EVE Online based on real player experiences. Okay. Did you play EVE Online ever?
I actually never did play EVE Online. I think I looked at it, but I couldn't figure out how to get started, so I don't think I lasted.
Right. Okay. I know there are hundreds or thousands of people out there who did, so I'm sure that'll be really interesting.
It's very popular, that's for sure.
Oh, beautiful. Good. The resulting novel will be the first book of a completely new genre. It's sci-fi nonfiction. Well, there you go. So there's something completely new. It'll be worth looking at.
Yeah, nice new book to read, too, about, you know, gaming. That's always fun.
Fantastic. And that is the news of the week. Another wonderful week.
Lots going on, and, I've run into a few people lately that are very sad about all of the stuff they can't get now that it's expired. So, yeah, got to get your pledges in.
Yes, that is true. Hey, something like that happened to me. But it was inadvertent, and I put in a little support ticket to Portalarium because, remember, there was a post in the forum recently. People were missing items out of their inventory, and they said, yeah, it's a bug. You know, if you notice anything, send us a little email, whatever. So I couldn't find my Darkstar Metronome and Moondial.
Okay, right.
I'll send them a little ticket. And got a very prompt and very courteous response from one of the devs. He said, well, actually, that was intended for all the founders who signed up before the 31st of July 2013, and they would get the Darkstar rewards. And somehow or other, they had a bug. It means that every founder got them. And I joined up in October of 2013, so I should never have had them in the first place.
Oh, wow. So they took them away?
So they took them away. But I thought, look, that's okay. I don't mind so much. And you know what it means? They're cleaning up bugs and polishing and getting everything nice and getting everything ready, and the game's getting closer to launch, so I'm good with it.
Well, I wonder if I lost mine, too.
Yeah. So when did you join up?
November for me.
Ah, okay. Yes, it may be that you lost yours as well.
Yeah, because my sheet had always said includes Darkstar rewards, so that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah. So I haven't got mine anymore, but okay. If they are important in the game, I'm sure I'll find someone who has one, and I'll develop a great friendship.
Yeah, hopefully somebody close by, that'd be good.
Yeah, we might be able to put one in the center of town, that'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be great if we know somebody. I don't know if you can use them as a town decoration. You couldn't last time I was playing with them.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, there's continual change and continual development, and it's great to see.
Oh, for sure. It is definitely awesome to see that they're getting closer and closer to getting things mailed out.
That is for sure. And I've got to go and see some of these new areas that I haven't visited yet. That's going to be good fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I need to see the cave biome. That needs to be next on my list.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's for sure. Okay, well, must be time to get back into the game, do a bit more exploring and finding out what we can kill and what we can't kill.
That's for sure. Well, I guess I'll make it so we can go on and play some more game, because I definitely got to get some more levels and get stronger.
Yeah, me too.
And the awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on a newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.